oversight in exchange for granting the charter. And we felt that that was outrageous. In one case, during that time, the teachers, that was under a law where the teachers had to sign for the charter. And so the district, in order to collect this extra money, actually went to the teachers' union and said, we'll give you a piece of the action. And that was very insulting to us as an organization, and we wanted it stopped. So when the Lempert bill came forward, AB 544, I think our organization probably overreacted to that 15% or whatever, and I don't think charters really appreciated having that much money taken away from them as well. We demanded that that percentage be lowered, and in the final negotiations around AB 544 in 1999, it was arrived at 1% and 3%, depending on what type of charter you were. I think that some of the issues around authorizing and oversight stem from districts not having enough money to actually do a good job of oversighting. And so I would suggest that maybe some type of study be done about what it costs to really appropriately oversight a charter, whether it's the state board and its or the Department of Ed's unit and what they could collect, or what a school district needs to collect or a county office needs to collect. I don't know what the answer to this. That 1% and 3% were picked out of thin air as a way to limit that excessive administrative charge. And I wanted to comment about these authorization issues. A lot has been said about the value of university authorizations. And I was able to witness a hearing here just, I think, a year ago or 2 years ago, where we brought in other states to talk about how they authorized. And the witnesses that came from these universities to talk about how they authorized charters actually are in situations that were unique to those states, different financing systems, different constitutional requirements, and also they were states that did not have the extreme number of charters that we have in California. We have by far the largest number of charters in the nation, and probably even on a per capita basis. In some of the examples of these other states, they did not have any other mechanism. They just created a charter law. They tried to figure out who was going to charter it. And when they were hooked to universities, they were not necessarily, in fact, the cases that were witnesses here, did not incorporate them in the university's programs. They actually went out and hired administrators and set up an office and did it completely separate from university operations. And that's people that talk about, well, it's working fine in San Diego. Let's take a look at San Diego. San Diego is sponsored by the UC. It is authorized by the local school district. And that is a great relationship, and it's very, very important relationship. The university spends its outreach money to subsidize that charter. They actually take applications and turn students away, which people just turn their back to that. But it's not tied to the education of teaching teachers how to teach. And so I think we could encourage higher ed to be sponsors but not authorizers. And I think we could do a better job with giving the authorizers the tools that they need. And if I may, there's just one other issue.
Very briefly, please.
Okay. The Lempert bill and subsequent legislation created an appeals process at the request of charter school operators. And that appeals process allows them, if the school board is misbehaving, to go to the county or to go to the state. Those were given in the Lempert bill, and in fact, in the subsequent legislation, they can actually skip the county and go directly to the state. So it's not like they're tied there. And I think if we can work out the facility issues, which really the declining enrollment issue and so forth, that things will be somewhat smoother, because we already have a very elaborate appeals process that's unique to California and that is, has a historical basis in our law.
Thank you for your comments. Others would like to speak under public comment? If not, then I will thank you all again for your attendance and participation here today. Thanks again to our staff. We'll keep all of you informed as to when the next hearing is scheduled. We do anticipate it'll be this fall, probably October is my guess, somewhere in the South Bay in the San Jose, the greater San Jose area. So thank you again. Thanks again to staff and to Senator Runner, who I know had a tight schedule and worked very hard to be here today. Without objection, the hearing is adjourned.